The following is a presentation from Lancaster Baptist Church and Pastor Paul Chappell.
Oftentimes, the Pauline epistles begin with a phrase that simply says, grace to you. Let's say that together, grace to you. And oftentimes, when the Apostle Paul is admonishing and encouraging, he encourages with that phrase, grace to you, or grow in the grace of our Lord, or he'll encourage them to be strong in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this grace is imparted to us by the Holy Spirit of God, and it is a gift of God. It is an endowment of His help and His nurture. It is a disposition that is created within us by the Holy Spirit. And in verse number 6, we read, "Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands." And that is the gift of the grace of God. It is the endowment of power that would be needed for Paul and for Timothy now to do the ministry that God had called them to do. And one reason that Paul knew this grace was so needful was because he knew of the battles of the ministry. He knew that Timothy would not make it on his own, but that he was going to need the grace of God in order to fulfill the work that God had called him to do. In fact, in chapter 2, of this book, and in verse 1, he says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." And so he's admonishing Timothy that as he faced these spiritual battles, he was going to have to be strong in the grace of God. He was going to have that inner reservoir, that inner resource of the power, the presence, and the strength of God to carry on. I think of Brother Morris's testimony, and when I see the building after building after building, and the people, and the door knocking, and the adversity that this one missionary has experienced in his life, I know that he would attest to the fact that it's only by the grace of God that he's been there for 36 years, and I think most of you would say the same thing tonight. It's just by the grace of God that we have been able to be faithful in these days. And so he says, be strong in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And all of us need to grow in that grace and be strong in that grace the longer that we're saved. And what I want you to learn tonight is about the renewing aspects of the grace of God, how God's grace helps us to remain steadfast over the years in life and ministry. Our theme this year is renew, and we're learning that they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And that strength comes from the Lord, and we wait for that strength, and we ask for that strength, and we're renewed by the strength of the Lord. And so, if you have your notes tonight, I want you to see three gifts of the renewing grace of God. The first gift I want you to notice tonight is that we can receive a renewing power. A renewing power. And this is the power that comes from within. Not the power of the human spirit, not the power of humanism, but the power that comes, letter A, from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit resides in every one of us who are born again. The Bible says that which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. But that same Spirit that resides in you also wants to release within you His power, give to you His strength. Luke 24 and 49, the Bible says, "And behold, I send you the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem, until ye be endued with power from on high." So whenever they waited for the coming of the Holy Spirit, and we do not wait in the same sense as the first century church at Jerusalem did, because they were now, as the Lord was ascended to heaven, now the Holy Spirit was coming. Jesus said, "It is expedient for you that I go away, because if I go away, the Spirit will come to you." And the Holy Spirit to the church was empowerment. It was God's presence with them. And that's why it says in Luke 24, 49, "until you be endued with power from on high." So the presence of the Holy Spirit is given to us that we might have power to live the Christian life. I can't live it on my own, and you can't live it on your own. That's why Acts 1 in verse 8 says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, and the uttermost parts of the earth." You see, we don't have the stamina in and of ourselves to continually give and serve and witness. We must have that endowment of the power of the Holy Spirit of God. And his power is a renewing power. His power and his strength is what keeps us going. That's why we must not quench the Holy Spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5:19, quench not the Holy Spirit. When we sin, we grieve the Spirit. When we disobey God's word, we quench the Spirit. When we say no to the Holy Spirit's prompting, we quench the Spirit. Tonight I want to remind you of something. You and I cannot afford to quench the power source. We've got to stay open to the power source, you see. And we must not quench the Spirit, but we must yield ourselves to the Spirit of God. And we must say yes to God's Spirit and in order to have His power in our lives. And so there is power from the Holy Spirit. We also know that this power, secondly, is for every burden that we will face, for every challenge that we will face. For some of us, the idea of witnessing, I asked our church family Sunday morning to take one Easter flyer and give it to someone else this week. And for some people, that's a frightening thought because they say to me things like, I don't have the gift of gab, and what will they think, and things of this nature. But I want to remind you that God's Spirit is given to us so that we might have power for witnessing. 1 Thessalonians 1:5. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among your sake, for your sake. You see, the gospel that Paul preached came not in word only, but in power. And this is why, as we go out soul winning, we say, God, give me strength and give me your power and give me your might and your filling. Give me the words to say. That's why you ought to pray for your pastor as I preach and pray for our missionaries that they would have the power of God to preach. We also need the power of God when we're persecuted. When we go through times of persecution, we need God's power. Notice what the Bible says in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 10. It says that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His, what are the next two words say? Glorious power, all right? Notice that, Colossians 1:11, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness. You see, God says when you face that persecution, if you're a single adult that stands up for Jesus Christ and you don't blend in with the crowd but you live for the Lord, if you're someone that is willing to witness for Christ, and sometimes someone might rebuff you or make fun of you, you need to be strengthened with His might according to His glorious power. Romans chapter 8 and verse 26 says it this way, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Likewise the Spirit helpeth us with our infirmities. Now, all of us tonight have a weakness. And it may be a mother that has a rebellious teenage boy and you don't know how to confront that boy. And I'm going to tell you one of the ways is to have the power of God in your life. No rebellious boy is a match for a praying mother. And it might be that you have something at work tomorrow that you've got to face and you just don't know how to face that. But you can face it in the power of God and in the power of prayer, the Spirit of God filling you and giving you the boldness that is not yours, but it's His. It's His through you. And what I'm saying tonight is that this grace of God is a renewing power to the believer. And God gives you strength and mercies that are new every single day. I remember years ago meeting the man that wrote the song, God Will Make a Way Where There Seems to Be No Way. And I asked him a little bit about the song, and he shared with me that song was written just after his little nephew had died in a car accident. And he shared with me how his brother and sister-in-law were so crushed with pain, and the family was just taken aback, and they just didn't know how there could ever be a way through that. And he said, as I lay awake that night and thinking about my brother and thinking about the tragic loss of their son and all of the family and the mourning of it, and just thinking, how could there ever be a way? He said, I began to meditate on God's faithfulness and God's grace. And he said, I wrote the song, God Will Make a Way Where There Seems to Be No Way. And I want to remind you that by the grace of God, no matter what you're facing tonight, there's always a way. There's always a way by the grace of God. And so His grace gives us a renewing power, Colossians 1:11. Strengthened with all might. Not our might, His might. Notice secondly, not only does His grace give a renewing power, but it also gives a renewing love. It also can renew our love. Now, what does the Bible tell us there in verse number 7? For God hath not given us the spirit of fear. All right, let's say that part together. For God hath not given us... Now, the devil loves it when we're fearful. And many of us have been there. Maybe you're fearful of the economy. Maybe you're fearful of your finances. Maybe you're fearful of health issues. Maybe you're fearful of the what-ifs with your children. Maybe there's an appointment you have that you're fearful of. And the devil loves fear because fear cancels out faith. God loves faith because faith cancels out fear. You can't be full of fear and full of faith at the same time. And the Bible says God has not given to us the spirit of fear. It's not from God, that spirit of fear. He says God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, a renewing power in the inner man. Then He says, secondly, and of love. Now, how many of you tonight thank God for His love? Amen. We love Him because He first loved us. And thank the Lord for that. He loves us. And God wants us to reflect that love. 1 John 4:18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. You see, love for Christ is something that is the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love. And God says, I want to renew your love. Now, I've had times when I've counseled in marriage counseling, and I've had men tell me, I just don't love her. I can't love her anymore. I've had men tell me that, and I've had women say, I just can't love him anymore. Now, oftentimes that's said because they're loving something or someone else. And it's not that they can't love, it's that they won't love. And I've said this sometimes to a couple. I ask this question, are you saved? Yes, I'm saved. All right? You're a born-again Christian? Yes, I'm born again. Then the Bible teaches us that the fruit of the Spirit is love. And the fact of the matter is that if you are yielded to God's Spirit and if you are filled with God's Spirit, you can love her. You can love him. You are not only choosing not to love that person, you are choosing not to yield to God. You are choosing not to obey God in that sense. I'm just here to tell you that any Christian that's willing to forsake the other, the affair, the wickedness, the sin, and be filled not with yourself, not with your lust, but be filled with God's Spirit, any Christian filled with God's Spirit can love another Christian. Because it's not you doing the loving. It's God loving through you. It's not your power. It's not your love. It's God's power. It's God's love. And I'm saying to you that God can renew the power and the strength that you need to go on another day. And God can renew the love that you need to be a witness, to be a spouse, to be a parent. Whatever the calling is, God can give you that love. It's a love that first must be for Him. A love for God, but then secondly, it is a love for others. It is a love for others. Now, we love Him because He first loved us, but God says, I want that love to be also for others. The fruit of the Spirit is love. And I thank the Lord for the loving Spirit at Lancaster Baptist Church. I really do. I thank God for the fact that older members love younger members. And I thank God for the fact that Hispanic members love the rest of us, and we love them. And teenagers are taught to love, and college students. And there's a spirit of love that comes from a whole lot of people being yielded to the Holy Spirit of God. And whenever there is an intense loving spirit at a church, that's the work of God. That's people that are saying, God has not given me the spirit of fear, but He's given me the spirit of power and of love. And then notice, not only does God want to renew your power and renew your love, but thirdly tonight, from this text, verse 7, and of a sound mind. God wants to renew our thoughts. Now, how many of you believe tonight that God is in the business of transforming minds? Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, someone says, well, you're talking about mind control? Yeah, you want to call it that. I don't know about you. I need my mind to be under the control of God. Everybody's experiencing some form of mind control. Some people's mind is controlled by MTV and HBO, and some people's mind is being controlled by the Holy Spirit and the Bible, and it's your choice. I will tell you this, garbage in, garbage out. So tonight, what we want to learn is that God wants to give a renewing to your thought process. He wants our thoughts to be renewed by the power of His Spirit and by the power of His Word. A well-balanced mind is a mind with sound influences, with biblical influences. And so how does someone have that mind that is according to the Word and the will of God? Well, first and foremost, that must be through salvation. Salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. There must be that inner working of the grace of God. And the Bible is very clear, Titus 3:4, but after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saves us, notice this, by the washing of regeneration, by the renewing of the Holy Ghost. When a person accepts Jesus Christ as their Savior, not by the works that we've done, not by Catholicism, not by works, not by joining the Baptist church. When a person accepts Christ as their Savior and they believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says at that moment the Spirit of God regenerates them. The Bible speaks of it in this verse as the washing of regeneration. I like that. If any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And I got to tell you something. The Holy Spirit takes up residence in your life. And by way of the working of sanctification, He wants to work with you. And the fact is, He's still working on you. He's still working on me. But the wonderful thing is this, that He will perform the doing of it. That He will begin that work and He will continue that work, the Bible says, until the day of our redemption. And so no one has their mind and their thoughts renewed until they first have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And it's interesting because when you think about it, the natural man, without Christ, the man that's never had the Holy Spirit take up residence in his life, he'll read this book and he'll say, that just doesn't do anything for me. I just don't understand it. I just don't like this. I just don't get it. And sometimes when people tell me they just don't want to read the Bible or go to church or whatever, I'll ask them, do you really believe that you're truly saved? Because I got to tell you something. There may be periods in your life where you're not as interested as you should be in the things of the Lord because you're maybe like the little kid who ate the bag of M&Ms but didn't want to have the roast beef dinner, right? And there may be periods of time in your life when because of sin, you're not as interested in the Bible. But I'm going to tell you, if you're truly a born-again Christian, you want to know what this book has to say. Not only that, you understand this book. It may take study. You may have to ask some questions, but God's Spirit illuminates your understanding of the book. Notice what it says there in 1 Corinthians 2:14. But the natural man receiveth not of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. So there's no way that the unsaved man can experience the renewing of his thoughts through the Word of God like the saved man can. Because the saved man has the Holy Spirit living in him, guiding him, illuminating him, and enlightening him, and renewing him by the Word of God. And that's why when you read the Word of God, you ought to begin with prayer and just say, Lord, open my eyes today. Lord, give me something here today that I can use in my life and renew my life through your word today. That's how you should come to Bible study and Sunday morning church and adult Bible class. Lord, give me something today from your word that I can take and use in my life this week. So through salvation, the thoughts begin to be renewed. Secondly, through the scriptures. Think about what the Bible says. 2 Timothy 3:15 says it this way, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. D.L. Moody said, I'm glad that there are things in the Bible I do not understand. If I could take that book up and read it as I would any other book, I might think I could write a book like that. You know, sometimes when you open the Bible right at first, it may not clearly be understandable to you. You may have to study another verse. You may have to do a search of words. You may have to get involved in a Bible study. But as you study the Word of God, the Bible says that we're to study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. And wisdom comes into your heart as you study the Word of God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Don't despise that wisdom. Don't despise the Word of God. Let the Scriptures renew your heart and renew your mind and program the way that you think. Jesus said it this way, let this mind be in you, Paul said, which was also in Christ Jesus. Let your mind be a Christ-like mind. And let the Scriptures produce a sound mind. The Bible says this in 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. That word perfect means mature. And it simply helps us to understand that we're not going to be renewed, we're not going to be maturing apart from the Word of God. And so if we want our thoughts to be maturing, to be renewed, then it will come through the Word of God. Let me give you a third thought that will renew your thought life, and that is the thought of the coming of Jesus Christ. The salvation of the lost is the beginning of renewal. The Scriptures applied continue the renewing process. But then let me say thirdly, the second coming of Jesus Christ is a renewing motivator in our lives. The Bible says it this way, the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. But look at this last verse. What does it say in verse 18? Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Let's say that together. Wherefore, comfort. When someone is under the burden of discouragement, when someone is bewildered and doesn't understand, God says, I want you to remind them that everyone that's gone on before you, we're going to meet them in the air and we're going to meet the Lord. And I want you to remind them that this life is not what it's all about. There's a life to come. And Jesus is going to come and we're going to meet our loved ones and there's going to be a meeting in the air. And at that time when the Lord comes and calls His children home and when we join together with them, the dead in Christ will rise first. We which are alive will join them in the air. Listen. The Bible says, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. And I know of no more of a renewing thought than that thought right there. That one day God will make all the wrongs right. And one day God will bring all of those who trusted Him together and we will spend eternity with Him in heaven. Grace. Be strong in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. What does that do? What does that provide? It provides power when you're too weak to go any farther. God's grace abounds. It provides love when you didn't think you could love anymore. And it provides a sound mind. It provides thoughts that are revived and renewed by the grace of God. God wants to renew you with His power, with His love, and with His thoughts. And all we've got to do tonight is simply say, Lord, help me to put aside my bitterness. Help me to put aside my foolishness and help me to be yielded to Your Spirit. And as we grow in grace, then God will give us the power and the love and the renewing of our mind to face another day and to go on for Him another year. Let's pray that God does that in our lives tonight. Shall we? Let's pray together.